Hello, you're listening to the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. In this episode, I interviewed Yami Nason-Regan and Ethan Roland of Appleseed Permaculture and to cover their backgrounds which brought them to permaculture, their work with Appleseed Permaculture, and the role of an entrepreneurial spirit when one runs a business, including the need for a consistency of communication. They were recommended to me as guests because of their work with Gaia University, where they both earned master's degrees in eco-social design. If you've done work at a Western university, Gaia's program is considerably different, which you'll hear. I was left speechless for a moment, though took that out in post-production so you didn't have to hear me sit there in silence with my jaw agape. After you listen to this interview, I highly recommend that you check out their website, appleseedpermaculture.com. There you can see their work, read about 8 forms of capital, which we talk about, read the blog, and check out the Appleseed Land Managers program. Yami and Ethan are engaged in a way with their work that is refreshing, dynamic, and affirming. I left this interview feeling the same way as when I finished my PDC, tired, amazed, and knowing there are people doing incredible work to make this world a truly better place for everyone. May you enjoy this time with Yami and Ethan as much as I did. I guess where I'd like to start with this interview tonight is if you guys could give me a little bit about your backgrounds, how you came to this world of sustainable design, and I guess we'll go from there.
Sure, I'll start. This is Yami speaking, and my background really started with Nature Connection, and I was a burnt out teenage activist, and I was looking for something different and stumbled into a bunch of people who were spending a lot of time in the woods learning survival skills and really dove into the world of becoming a naturalist and understanding ecosystems and learning to read landscapes and speak more of the language of the natural world. And that served as quite a foundation as I moved through that period of my life of doing nature connection programs with children and teenagers, as my precursor to permaculture design. And I, having that foundation of ecosystem understanding and connection, really made it so that I could hit the ground running as a permaculture designer, because reading the landscape really is the foundation for permaculture design, starting with site analysis and understanding a site both with the physical landscape and also social landscape of working with landowners, with business owners, etc. Having that nature connection background was just so helpful. So that's a little bit of how I got started.
And this is Ethan, and I guess I began, boy, it's such a, I don't know, so many pieces in the story. I was a passionate, geeky science kid in high school, and followed into college. I got an undergraduate degree in biochemistry, and by the end of 4 years in the laboratory, I was done. I was like, okay, that's enough. I'd love to get my hands on some biology that I can actually touch and smell and feel. And I really, during my 4 years in college, the largest thing that I studied was a yeast cell. And so I really wanted something that was a little more tangible and tasty. And so I received a fellowship called the Watson Fellowship, which supported me to travel around the world for a year studying the global diversity of apples. And it was on that journey when I went from Sweden to Kazakhstan to Japan to New Zealand to Chile. It was on that journey that I first encountered permaculture design as a science and as a movement and as a community. And when I returned home, I took a permaculture design course with Jeff Lawton of the Permaculture Research Institute of Australia, who happened to be in my home bioregion, the Hudson, what we now call the Hudson River Valley. And he told me to do a bunch of things during that course. He told everybody in the class. One of them was start a permaculture design consulting firm, and another was start teaching permaculture. And I kind of just ran out and started doing it. Highly, highly supported by my family, my mom, who is a small, very small business owner and had some experience in that realm, also as a consultant. And my dad, who was most of his life and still is a landscape architect. So I had some good support and attention from my family to get going. But I would say that the vast majority of what I do now as a permaculture designer has come from learning since I took my permaculture design course, and really learning as I go. And that's, I think, something that Diami and I have in common, both having gotten our master's degrees from Gaia University, is a real sense of action learning and just picking up as much as possible from every situation, whatever we're in, and growing greatly from the life that we live. And so I think that's a good bit of background for me.
And how long has it been for both of you since you took your permaculture design classes and kind of got into this world of permaculture?
For me, I took my permaculture design course in 2008. And I think it was maybe a year later. It's been 2 years that I've been running Appleseed Permaculture with Ethan.
Okay.
And I took my design course in 2005 and started Appleseed Permaculture in 2006. So yeah, whatever that makes it.
Now, one question that I get often from listeners and people who I'm talking with permaculture about as they consider putting together a permaculture design business and doing consulting and installations, what kind of barriers have you encountered developing Appleseed Permaculture and working with your clients to do installs? Here in central Pennsylvania and some other regions, there's a lot of political and social pushback against that kind of organization and sale of sustainable design. Do you encounter anything like that where you are in New York, or is that something that you had to overcome?
What kind of pushback?
Here there are legal requirements for doing a lot of the integrated design because of small-scale livestock, and other issues arise under nuisance laws, especially within the cities and the suburbs, as well as homeowners agreements consider it messy. So doing regenerative design to install something as simple as a meadow requires some finagling, if you will, to show that it is an intentional design and not just letting grass grow wild.
Yeah, well, what a little track in the mud of the ridiculous overregulated world that some people in the overdeveloped world live in. So no, I would say we haven't necessarily faced challenges in that particular legal arena to beginning to do this work, would you say?
No, I mean, you know, except for some of the small details recently of, you know, subcontracting a fence, and legal regulations say that anything above 6 feet is a structure, so we need to get a building permit to put up a deer fence to plant the orchard. So some of that, a little bit, but I think that some of the greatest attention and barrier for some people in running a permaculture design business is the consistency and attention of communication with clients. That is something that we put a lot of attention into, and that the business really didn't thrive until there was the attention to do that. And I think that that can really stop people short when they're, you know, the sole person doing the design work, doing the marketing, updating their website, communicating with the clients, trying to get plants in the ground. You know, that's a lot for a startup business.
I would say some of the main barriers are basically that most permaculture people, at least until now, it's beginning to shift, don't come from an entrepreneurial background. And the toolkit of an entrepreneur is, it's a big deal. There's a lot to learn about running an organization. I think of us, we're a business. We happen to be a limited liability company. This is the legal structure of Appleseed Permaculture. But I think of us as an organization, as a mission-driven organization. We have really specific goals of what we want to achieve in our local area, in our bioregion. And, the specific format that we've chosen to do it is just the one that makes the most sense for a number of reasons for us. But being an entrepreneur takes a lot of skill, and there's not great training. And our current, in my assessment, the current United States education system and school system isn't particularly set up to support people to be empowered you know, world changers that are taking on the challenges that they want to and doing the things that they're passionate about, which is, of course, what the word entrepreneur means. It comes from the French and it basically means to take on. And so I don't think people have been trained or supported to go in that direction. And there's as much, if not more, to learn as a small business owner as there is about permaculture. So I would say that was a main barrier that I faced and was fortunate enough to overcome by reaching out for support, by reaching out for mentoring, by finding really good mentors out there in the permaculture world. Yeah, that was a big barrier.
Making some notes of my own.
Great.
I always love these sessions because I come away with so much more than I ever expected to start with.
I'll just say to wrap that point that to be a potent eco-social regenerator, which is exactly what Gaia University is based around and has taught us to do and is teaching many, many more to do right now, there's this intersection between different skill flexes, skill sets of permaculture, deep nature connection that Diami spoke about, entrepreneurial skills, and also something that Diami said, this ability to communicate really clearly and consistently, and all of that sort of supported and held both by an individual's inner personal growth and healing work, and that is held in the whole system of a vibrant, healing, well-communicating earth and community focused culture. And that's a bunch of pieces to put together. And I think we're successful as entrepreneurs. We're successful as permaculturists. We're successful in our personal relationship because we've managed to gather those pieces around us in a really beautiful, harmonious, web.
You mentioned Gaia University, and that was one of the reasons why it was suggested that I reach out to both of you to discuss your study there for your master's degrees, and that's eco-social design?
That's the name of the master's degree that Ethan and I both received from Gaia University.
Okay. Do you feel that some of those components that were necessary for in order for you to grow and implement the things that you just stated came from part of that education, or was that something within you that you built as a part of your study and your work with permaculture?
Definitely both. Gaia University offers a number of really important, helpful frameworks to support the development as eco-social entrepreneurs, as human beings, as you know, permaculture designers, whatever it is that you're bringing to the table as a world changer. There are frameworks built into Gaia University that every associate goes away with having a good bit of experience with.
I'm not familiar with Gaia University's program deeply. I've done some reading about it that was available on the website, some articles that have been written by people who have gone through the programs there and how they saw it as a life-changing experience. How do you see that experience, having done undergrad work in a more traditional university setting, how does the Gaia University experience differentiate itself from that?
Oh my goodness, it's a different world. I'll say a bit about the external manifestations of it, but really it's important to say at first that it comes from a completely different paradigm of learning and growth. It comes from one where the individual learner is empowered to go the direction that they want to go and learn what they want to learn. The entire Gaia University program is learner-directed, project-based, mentored action learning. So learner-directed means as this so-called student, they're not even called students in Gaia University, they're associates, because we're all associates, colleagues, working together towards all of our individual goals and towards some of our shared goals. So we choose, as learners at Gaia University, we choose what we want to learn. It's project-based, so there are no classes per se. There are no professors per se. There's no campus per se. While at the same time, you know, there's 100 campuses or 1,000 campuses, and each campus is the community, the environment in which each associate is learning. And there aren't professors, but they're skilled advisors and mentors who are really, they really act like allies in the journey to support each individual to figure out what they're learning, what they want to learn, and how to go about doing it. And I would say that's actually one of the more important, beautiful aspects of Gaia University is that Gaia University, taking this idea of action learning, it says, look, we're going to be learning for our whole life. Just ask anybody you meet, ask the oldest person you meet and ask them if they've stopped learning yet. And they'll say, no, of course not. We continue to learn and grow through our entire lives. So if I'm going to spend some time and if I'm going to invest some financial capital into learning, into time at university or college, then I think it would be better rather than just learning one particular thing, one piece of content. Wouldn't it be better if I could learn how I learn so that I can learn that much better for the rest of my life? And so Gaia University is very focused as much on what I do and what I'm studying and what I'm getting. It's just as much focused on how I'm doing it and how I'm learning and how I'm growing through the entire process. So when I finish, yes, I have a more detailed understanding of, for example, I studied collaboration. So I know a lot more about collaboration. But better than that, I understand how I collaborate as a person and how I learn as a person, how I learned all about collaboration. And I can use that to learn whatever I want to going forward.
So then was part of that process to break down and understand how you learn? Did you go through like the 13, I believe it's like the 13 forms of learning and dealing with audiovisual versus kinesthetic learning? And did you break it down to that kind of a level of detail to understand how you learn? Or was it just part of the process that by your mentors were directing the way that you were doing your work in a way that gave you your insight on how to continue this process?
Yeah, it's totally diverse. It's completely diverse based on the individual who goes in. And I think part of the existing paradigm would be to break everything down to little pieces and study all the different models and write 6 papers comparing Kolb's learning cycle to, you know, Howard Gardner's multiple intelligences to the visual, auditory, kinesthetic. And we could spend a lot of time doing that. And all of these models are actively available and shared. And yes, they are part of the initial orientation to Gaia University, is to get an overview of how these different models work. But then depending on what each individual learner is drawn to, you know, I might study one of them more deeply, or I might end up doing that synthesis between all of them. Or I might say, look, this stuff is too heady. I'm going to go, you know, plant a polyculture of multi-purpose plants for my community and learn as much as I can by growing food in a sustainable way. And that, too, is reasonable, beautiful Gaia University degree work.
It's fundamentally different from the world of education as I have learned it.
Absolutely.
It's quite a lot to take in.
I would say that the Gaia University orientation that I took part in was probably the most powerful intensive that I had done since taking the PDC. And it was so much more than the PDC, because it was not just the content, it was paradigm shifting. And it wasn't even paradigm shifting. It helped me to see the paradigm shift that I was going through as I was going through it. Gaia University is very, very strong on the meta level, on just stepping back from whatever piece we're working on and seeing the bigger picture and understanding how I as a whole person, or Diami as a whole person, fits into the larger whole systems that we're a part of.
Would you recommend Gaia University to anyone and everyone? Or does that self-directed, mentored learning kind of fall also into that entrepreneurial toolkit where some people are ready for that and others are not? Or do you feel that it's something that anyone could try to take on?
Gaia University is definitely for self-directed learners. That doesn't mean that anybody could not learn to be a self-directed learner. Certainly there's the potential in everybody to learn that, and Gaia University might help that process if that's the intention of somebody going into it. I've never been a self-directed learner. I want to learn to be a self-directed learner. That could be an incredible experience for them and benefit them for the rest of their life. However, it does happen that people go into Gaia University who aren't ready for that level of self-direction and aren't able to complete their program because of it. However, for people who are ready for such an experience, it's extremely liberating, because every institution up to that point was such a box and such a framework. My experience was that I was so ready to bust out of that I was just so grateful that Gaia University offered me a playground for me to be who I was.
And something's fascinating that we've kind of tracked not only have we both gotten our degrees through Guy University, but I was, and to some extent still am, involved in the inner workings and the development of Gaia U as it grows, because it too is a young, thriving, but evolving organization. And one thing we notice is that some people who, for whatever reason in their life conditions, weren't able to make it through and to finish the program that they began, all of them still love Guy University. And when asked about it, they say, "Oh, it's so great. I still like feel part of the family. I'm still part of the community." They'll even still pop up on the internal forums and be asking questions and engaging. So there's a real, it's very powerful community, and now even more global, because of some of the shifts and evolutions at Gaia-U. It's great. We're getting people from all over the world, from Syria, from different parts of Africa, who weren't able to necessarily travel to the United States to take a beginning workshop. But now that so much more of it is facilitated through this beautiful online learning environment, it's just opening the door to a greater diversity of people from all over the world. And I think that will make Gaia University even more powerful going forwards.
And truly building a network of lifelong learners who continue to engage and build this community through Gaia U, whether or not they've earned a degree there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. We need all the support and allies and connections. And Gaia University has been great at facilitating that for me, with permaculturists and social justice activists and just people working for good all over the world.
It's a very different approach. I know some people who were not able to finish their, if you will, standard Western university degree, and it's as soon as you pass from the halls, if you're not an alumni because you've graduated, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
How do those connections change the work that you're doing through Gaia University and also the people who you're partnering with Appleseed Permaculture? Does it provide you with additional resources to pull in as you collaborate with people around the world, or do you work more locally within your own biosphere? No, not biosphere. I'm sorry, bioregion.
It is a biosphere.
Those individuals. Yeah.
Let's see. We've both formed some really good long-term friendships and connections, and in my case, business relationships with the people that we met through Gaia University. So Appleseed Permaculture is our primary enterprise and the one which we spend the most of our time doing. And it is focused quite locally. We're really, all of our clients are within 100 miles of where we live. And we love the close to home regeneration that's possible in our ecosystems, in our social systems, in our economic systems, because of how much we focus close to home. That said, I also am part of an organization called TerraGenesis International, which is an international consulting firm through a number of people that I own and run with people I met through Gaia University. And we have offices, sort of, you can think of us as having offices in many different countries all over the world. There's projects happening in Ecuador, Thailand, Barbados, and it just gives us a broader international understanding of what's happening out there, and a bigger project expertise, so that if I'm called to work on something in dry lands, or if we're looking at wet tropics or island tropics, we have this greater base of experience to call on. And I have the understanding that there are some specific things that if I, don't know about them and need to find out about them, I can still go back to Gaia University. I can go to the forums. I can get in touch with my mentors that I have there. And I said, hey, who's fresh? Who's like got some great information about outdoor mushroom growing in tropical climates, for example, or who's really doing the best work on associative economics and kind of do-it-yourself economy? Where's financial permaculture right now? Who do I check in with about that? And I can get great connections moving forward in that way.
You mentioned financial permaculture, and one, I was reviewing your material on Appleseed Permaculture. I ran across an article about 8 forms of capital. And I gave my final presentation for my teacher training on alternative economies, specifically work shares and time banking. And when I was looking through that material and thinking of what the local transition movement has been doing with trying to bring our local economy to relocalize it and keep it from going out of the area, I was interested if you would speak some about your eight forms of capital material and how you see that as applying to relocalizing within a region.
Some of the way that it has helped us understand some of what we're doing in Appleseed permaculture is to expand one our own definition of capital, mm-hmm. of money. We now can understand that much of what we do is we're transforming financial capital in the form of US dollars into living capital when we're out there planting trees at our client's farm. So that's one example of how we work with the model. What's another example?
A lot of what we do is fusing our intellectual capital and experiential capital with the deep understanding of the living capital of the land. And then exactly like Diami said, flowing financial capital into what, in our opinion, are better forms of investment than the stock market, better forms of investment than just having your money in a bank. And also realizing that through doing all of this, we're constantly building and flowing social capital and cultural capital amongst ourselves and the people that we work with, our design team, and all of our clients. So there becomes a sense of a greater potential for richness and for feeding back into all of the living systems around us, because we're not just dealing with financial capital. However, it also empowers us to say financial capital is a useful thing. It's a tool that can be used in our current eco-social system. And we enjoy having it flow through us. We enjoy having financial capital to work with, so we don't have to reject it, because we see it as just another tool in the whole systems design toolbox. I think that it's also... I think it's essential that, especially as we're facing the shuddering, shaking, potential falling apart of the current economic system, which is largely based in financial capital, I think it's really useful for us to get comfortable transacting and thinking in multiple forms of capital. And it allows us to redefine business. It allows us to redefine profit in a much more holistic way that could actually lead to regeneration, that could actually lead to the value of all living systems, of all beings, of everything around us increasing. And until organizations and businesses and people begin to make this kind of internal paradigm shift, I think we'll just keep getting stuck and everything flows back to money and the current oppressive the current oppressive system that keeps so many people locked down through financial capital.
Because the focus is on financial capital, that we miss the other yields that are available within the whole system by focusing on this very small portion of it. And then it becomes a matter of what society values at the moment, as opposed to what we may need to value in the long term, depending on how our financial capital changes, depending on how our climate changes and our ecology.
Right. And forget the long term, it's the short term. If you don't have living capital entering your mouth every day in the form of food, you're dead. So it's actually not that radical a concept. it's actually quite clear, and it just happened. This is how it is. It's just a more whole picture of how we currently move and live in the world.
And then you take that message and then make it something that's palatable to more than just a couple of people who are like, oh, well, that's a great idea. Take it out into the community in a way that other people can relate to it in their own individual situation, and then change that paradigm person per person until it becomes a more holistic community-wide and then nation and worldwide understanding.
Yeah, I think that I guess at this point, my ambitions are, I don't know. Yes, my vision is that that will happen. And I would say it's not part of our current work and design to be responsible for that happening. We're growing and learning as a couple and as business owners that it's very important for us to focus on our quality of life and really develop holistic goals around our quality of life so that we're not running too hard, adrenalated, overworked, running ourselves into the ground to achieve something too grand. And that's coming from me as a person who was doing that not very long ago and got really sick and got really tired and wasn't really able to focus very well on any particular thing. And that's part of what I've loved about our relationship together is that we support each other, not just in this external world change realm, but also in holding and developing our own internal space in a way that actually makes us fun, joyful, well-rested people out there doing this work in the world.
So you're fostering both the inter and the interpersonal growth in each other.
Absolutely, yeah.
That makes me happy to hear. We've covered a broad stretch of material. I'd like to loop back, since I've taken this kind of far afield from where I was earlier on Gaia University, and ask about some of the projects that you implemented as part of your degree work at Gaia University, just as examples of your learner-directed projects and some of the mentoring that you received on that.
Well, I'll give you an example from mine that has nothing to do with anything that we've talked about thus far to show how Gaia University can really support a wide spectrum of beautiful world-changing work. And that came for me in the form of training to become a fertility awareness instructor. And that started with my own personal practice of learning fertility awareness. So fertility awareness is a method of tracking a woman's three primary fertility signals and then using them to achieve pregnancy, conceivement, or prevent pregnancy achievement. And that training was all, you know, happened all throughout my degree program. I was supported by my mentor in my learning and internally and externally. And that was, has been an incredible tool personally. And I'm starting to apply that in my own community, working with teenagers and women.
That's a pretty powerful outreach.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So let's see, collaboration. I studied collaboration and I used an integral map to develop some principles of collaboration, some kind of patterns of, and principles of collaboration and how it can work well and what makes it not work well. One of the things that I learned is that collaboration between people is both, at the same time, it's very standard. It happens in a lot of, especially in the design community, the professional architecture, engineering, that world really works with collaboration a lot. And at the same time, it doesn't always go that well, and it's not always backed up by clear communication, and it doesn't always achieve the result of healing for the people involved and for the earth. So there's a lot of different ways to go with collaboration, and I learned a lot about what makes it work and what makes it not. And one thing I've learned is that for me, it takes a significant amount of time. Collaboration takes more time. There's more communication. There's more trust building. And if it can be done well over a period of time, the results it yields are stunning. When a group of people can really know each other and work with each other, they can pull off very, very powerful events and enterprises in the world. So maybe a physical manifestation of that would be the carbon farming course, which I helped to host in 2009 in Tennessee with another Gaia University associate and friend. And then again this last year, or this earlier this year in 2012, myself and another Gaia University associate put on this incredible 3-week intensive course in regenerative agriculture with the top names in ecological farming and holistic decision making from the southwestern United States, from Australia. So there's Darren Doherty was there, and Elaine Ingham from the Soil Food Web, and Dr. Wes Jackson of the Land Institute,
and Eric Tonesmeyer and Dave Jackie, and it was just an incredible incredible mix of trainers, and over 400 people interacted with the event and took workshops and came to evening talks, and I think quite powerful world-changing potential in terms of getting regenerative agriculture, permaculture principles out onto the broad acre, onto the farming scale. But really at the core of it was tight, clear communication and a deep level of trust and years of experience of collaboration between myself and Connor Stedman, the other organizer of the course, and Diami supporting and running Appleseed Permaculture while I was focused on the course. So there's just this web of connection and collaboration that allowed a big event like this to get pulled off and show profit in multiple forms of capital, and intellectual capital, social capital, and even financial capital, which were transforming onward into DVD products of actual, like, really excellent DVDs of all the workshops that took place in the course, so that the people who couldn't get to come still get a chance to watch these videos and get that awesome information and start implementing it. But all of it was sort of resting on this network of collaboration.
I hate to come back to this because in my mind is such a reductionist, because I'm used to breaking down the world into these discrete bits and bytes of information. Did you use any particular models for your communication? I bring that up because Dylan Naber and I were discussing Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication. And I was wondering if there were any particular models that you started with for communication or collaboration that you then broke down and built, or did you step back from all of that and just, as you built your map, then developed your own principles as you moved forward?
We work with a really clear and simple communication framework that we love a lot. Most of our friends know it and carry it really well. It's very simple. There's no ongoing workshops to understand it or integrate it. There's a 45-minute CD that gives you the basics, and it's called Clean Talk. And it works so phenomenally well. My relationships and communication has improved to the max, almost, based on my integration of this method.
There's a lot of similarities with nonviolent communication, I would say. It's just simpler. there's less needs to learn. There's less kind of structure and way to go about things. I love nonviolent communication. I love people who have really integrated it and speak from the place. And I also really like some of the ways that nonviolent communication is evolving and changing. But for us, you know, Clean Talk is just so simple. And Clean Talk has a bunch of connections with other modalities of inner growth and healing work. But the basic pieces of it are, I don't know what to say except clear and clean. It's great.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me. There's some people I know who are trying to build an intentional community, and as I talk with them and just as I continue to grow and develop as a person myself, the more I realize how important an ability to communicate clearly, concisely, and from your own personal space is important. So I'm always looking for models and tools that might speak to someone in a way that another model or tool might not.
Yeah, a few others you should throw into the hopper, especially for groups working on community together. There's another piece. So Clean Talk is great for individuals communicating with each other, and it's also useful as those individuals come to a group. However, it's very useful to have a forward-thinking, agile governance and decision-making system in place for a group of people working together. So we personally use a blend of different models, but the ones that I'd point out as growing and very exciting, we've heard great feedback from everyone who's using these, is Sociocracy, which developed out of dynamic self-governance and is really taking off right now in intentional communities across the world. And the other one is Holacracy, which even evolves a little further past Sociocracy and has excellent use and implication as a framework for running an organization. So Sociocracy and Holacracy, I think, are great decision-making and planning frameworks. Hi there, where'd you lose us?
You had just mentioned Sociocracy and Holacracy.
That's great. Sociocracy and Holacracy are wonderful. highly recommended. I also love holistic management, and we use holistic management in our relationship and as part of our decision-making framework. But for groups, yeah, sociocracy or holocracy would be an excellent, excellent way to go.
You both seem very engaged in all of the processes that you're working on. Would you say that that has always been part of your personal drive, or is this something that you've developed over time as you've worked in this world of collaboration and networking with others, that you have to have that sense of self and to be centered in order to do this kind of work and reach out in the world?
I think that both Ethan and I are growing and deepening in our ability to joyfully and zestfully engage in everything that we do. And I think that has less to do with what it is that we're doing, but rather the healing, growing work that we're committed to and involved in our personal lives. I think that has more of an impact on the level that we engage in and who we bring to the, you know, to the playing game than anything else.
Yeah, right on. I got nothing to add to that. That's beautiful.
No, that's perfect. This is a very engaging and different conversation for me with how far both of you are in developing your programs and ideas, and the experiences that you've gone through and the place that you're in is much different from the place that I've come from to get here and my interaction with others so far. So it's quite a bit to take in, and it's very engaging and dynamic and interesting. All this that I have on a page in front of me to turn into notes for the show and get figured out and wonder how this is going to transform my own work within permaculture and this strange little world.
Cool. Glad to add to the mix.
Yeah, this is really great. There's so many things here that I haven't encountered before that's going to be really great to take back to others, between Terra Genesis, Clean Talk, the Gaia University, the Eight Forms of Capital. I've got a lot of information here that I'm going to have to digest and process to turn into my notes. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, as I'm trying to consider where to go next, what would you two like to share with the world in just an open floor moment, if either of you have anything you'd like to say to my audience or to the world in general, about your work, the world of permaculture, what gives you hope, anything of interest or passion to you that you'd like to share?
We are really excited about a new enterprise that we've launched within Appleseed that's called Appleseed Land Managers. And Appleseed Land Managers grew out of our experience both working with clients here in the Northeast and elsewhere in the world, and also working with excited young permaculturalists and not so young permaculture, young at heart permaculturists and farmers around the world who are really seeking to ground some of this theory into reality. What Land Managers does is it's a matchmaking service where we notice that we have clients who would love to be, you know, they get these beautiful permaculture designs. They really want to have permaculture happening on their site, but they're not able to be there all the time, or they're not able to devote 100% of their attention to the ecological land development work. And at the same time, there are all of these awesome farmers and permaculturists who would like to be grounding their knowledge into experience, grounding their intellectual capital into experiential capital in the landscape by doing regenerative land care work, whether that's, you know, production farming in an ecological way, or tending the wilds, or you know, any of this work of really connecting back with a more sane and eco-socially just way of being with the land. So what we're starting to do is match up permaculturists, farmers, eco-social entrepreneurs with landowners or land, you know, folks who, whether they're foundations or organizations or private landowners who have land that they want to be in a permaculture management framework. So we're very excited about this program because it's also allowing us to interact with more people and actually give them support and feedback to get the kinds of training that we think is useful to be an empowered world changer. So that includes, you know, directing them towards, if they don't have permaculture yet, you need to get a permaculture design course. If you haven't had any entrepreneurial experience, go to one of the social entrepreneurship institutes, or apprentice with somebody who's running a small business. If your communication isn't clear, well, here's a couple places you can go to develop your interpersonal communication skills. And as you build all of those different pieces together, we get an integral whole that's unique for each person, but is that much more powerful at going out and regenerating the ecological, economic, and community systems that are all around us. So we're looking for bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, go-get-em, joyful, clear-communicating permaculturists, farmers, designers, social entrepreneurs to weave these skills together. And we actually have paying positions available with a number of our clients and lots more to come. So we can match you up and get you going on a piece of land to really develop and make all this theory real. And yeah. That's a very exciting new venture that we're involved in. And you can read about it on our website. I believe it's appleseedpermaculture.com/appleseedlandmanagers. And if you just search around on your site, you'll see it. So that's a big piece of things.
Okay. And I'll make sure that I include a link directly to that in the show notes so people can just pop right over if they want to find that.
Yeah. And I would say if you're looking for, if you're looking for support and mentoring in your permaculture learning journey, Guy University is great, especially the new permaculture diploma programs that they have are really quite exciting. And if you've got some experience under your belt, you've done a couple seasons of growing, done a number of designs and started a small business somewhere, please get in touch and let's see if we can work out a way to get everybody a right livelihood while regenerating our eco-social systems.
And is that your land manager's program? Is that available to anyone? If someone contacted you from California or Ecuador because they happen to hear this and they're interested in learning your model for connecting with people, would you help them with that process?
Great. Bring them on. We are not promising jobs to anybody, but we will absolutely promise to review anyone's application and offer feedback and directions and see where it goes from there. And yeah, we'd love to hear from folks. We ask very clearly, are you willing to relocate? And many of our positions currently are here in the Northeast. But I think after we build a solid base and a real great pool of people, I have no doubt that this will expand onwards.
Well, I'll certainly get the word of this worldwide, and we can see where that helps you guys grow this process.
Great.
So, any last thoughts then before I say thank you so much for your time in this interview?
No, it's been a pleasure to spend this time talking with you. It's always fun to connect with the things that we're doing in kind of a reflective way. So I appreciate your good questions.
I thank you both for your time, spending this with me, sharing this information that I'll get out to everyone. And thank you for doing this work. You're taking a very different perspective on this world than what I've encountered so far and what I've shared with my listeners. So this will be a very different interview for them.
All right. Onwards.
Thank you for joining me for another interview. If you have comments or questions about this or any other episode, go to thepermaculturepodcast.com and leave a message or send me an email. That address is show@thepermaculturepodcast.com. Until the next time, take care of yourself, the earth, and each other.